everybody, and welcome. You're listening to The Leadership Focus, an internet radio show geared to everyday leadership, both at work and throughout your life. Each week, we present you with new ideas, interesting guests, and actionable strategies to help you be an incredible leader with a more balanced life. I'm your host, Lisa Pasbjork, Executive Coach and CEO of Focus Coaching, a leadership coaching and training firm based in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And tonight, our topic is career positioning, the power of networking, and how to get a great job in 90 days or less. Our guest is Joe Carroll. Joe is the Vice President of Human Resources of IST Management Services. IST is one of the fastest-growing privately held facilities management companies in the U.S. In addition to being an author of numerous published articles on recruiting, facilities management, and career management, Joe has recently written the very timely book, How to Get a Great Job in 90 Days or Less. In demand as an international speaker, he is widely known as an expert in the field. We are privileged to have him here with us live tonight. Welcome, Joe.
Hey, Lisa. How are we doing today?
Good, good. I'm excited to have you here. It's
all
great.
Right. Likewise.
Yeah, yeah. Well, especially because this subject is so timely. You know, there are so many people that want to know the kind of information that we're going to talk about tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And that promise of get a great job in 90 days or less is really enticing. So I'm looking forward to getting into that. Tell me a little bit to start out about your background and what led you into this field.
Well, I actually, when I first... After graduating from high school, I got a job as a mail clerk in a national advertising company. Later went on to join the Navy for 4 years, and I was aboard aircraft carriers in a helicopter squadron during Vietnam War. And then when I got out of the Navy, under the GI Bill, went to college, got my degree in English and creative writing, and later went on to get a master's degree in business, and wound up working in the insurance industry, and then later went into facilities management, which is where I really started to carve out a career in human resources training and coaching, career coaching.
Mm-hmm.
So my professional career over the years has evolved. Most of my time now is really spent working in recruiting, headhunting, finding quality people to work for my company, and doing some training as well as some public relations work for my company.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is there something specific that happened that led you to write this book?
You know, the book evolved over many, many years. I'll give you one example. I was downsized twice in my life. I remember working for an insurance company, and the company unfortunately went belly up. It was taken over by the New York State Insurance Department, and the company was good enough to give us outplacement services and a severance package. And I remember going to the outplacement meeting, and I would say about half the people in that room that were downsized were very bitter employees, very mad, very upset that they lost their jobs. And the other half of the group, including me, well, we were very happy to have the outplacement service, and we had a whole different perspective on our future. It reminds me of the, I'm sure you've heard this story too, Lisa, the two prisoners in the same jail cell. One is looking out the window and through the bars and seeing a very gloomy and dark future. And the other prisoner is looking out the same window and sees nothing but the stars and the heavens and a very bright future. So, that experience, I think, is probably one of the first that really got me engaged in, job search strategies and trying to help people to cope with job loss. And that started over 20 years ago. And I've been doing it ever since, and which led up to this book. I mean, this is the worst economy since the Great Depression. I mean, we have 15 million people out of work. I mean, if you factor in the people that stop looking at a frustration and those who are working part-time because they can't find full-time work, you're probably talking somewhere between 22 and 25 million people out of work. I mean, that's the same number that was out of work during the Great Depression, 1929. So the times are very different today, though. I mean, there's a lot of people out of work, and the problem, the challenge is that a lot of people simply do not know how to conduct an effective job search. I mean, if you look back over the last 14 years prior to the recession, the unemployment rate never went above 6%. That was it, 6%.
Right.
The average was somewhere between, say, 3 and 5%. And today, it's the last 2 years, 9 to 10%. I mean, in some cities, Las Vegas, it's 14%. So the game plan has changed. You know, just a few short years ago, it wasn't that difficult to find a new job because there weren't that many people looking for jobs.
Yeah. So I hear you. I'm in Michigan, and our unemployment rate has been close to 14% for a long
14%.
Time.
14%. Yeah.
Now it's 13 point something. It's dropped a little, but we for many, many, many years, well before this recession, had the lowest unemployment or highest unemployment rate in the country, and now it's Nevada. But we're unfortunately really close behind, and so it's been a long haul for people here, and not a couple year thing. And I guess my question for you, you know, as you look at helping people find employment, why now with this book, and what's different now than, say, 5 or 10 years ago? I mean, obviously the unemployment rate is different, but what else?
Well, I think the key thing is that we're not generating as many jobs as we used to. I mean, we've seen the manufacturing industry go south. A lot of jobs are going overseas. You know, it's becoming more and more difficult to find employment. Even with the younger folks coming out of college, it's extremely difficult to find work. In fact, the unemployment rates with the younger folks are even higher than older people. So in this stage in life, in this economy, people need to have some kind of mechanism. Right here in Atlanta, for example, we had a major job fair, and over 3,000 people showed up for this job fair. They actually had to close the doors. They couldn't allow any more people into the job fair. I mean, we have so many people out there looking for work and simply not enough jobs. And so the smart folks today are going to have a career management strategy. And it's not sitting in front of a computer and sending out resumes, hundreds of resumes all day long, because it's like sending those resumes into this big black hole and never hearing as much as a thank you for sending those resumes out. So, you know, this is an economy where the passive job hunter doesn't have a chance. Someone that is looking to get a job faster rather than waiting for a year needs to definitely have a strategy in place if they want to find a job. And, you know, there are definite ways to go about finding jobs. And it's not, you know, completely relying on the job boards to find work. You got to do something different. You got to find a job before the job is advertised.
Well, I think you know one of the programs that Focus Coaching, my business, has, and my associates and I work with, is strategic career redesign, and we work individually with people creating their career. So some of these things, of course, are not news to me, but I hear about them a lot. But tell me, in your mind, what are some of the most common mistakes people are making when they're job hunting?
Well, I would say, I mean, the number one right at the top of the list is just relying on the computer to find employment opportunities. It's the it's being that passive job seeker that is probably the most frustrating part of the job search. Number two, you know, they're sitting back, and unfortunately a lot of people are sitting back and just kind of waiting for that phone to ring. Well, you know what? The phone never rings. The third factor, a lot of people put too much emphasis on the resume. Resumes don't get jobs. People do. Now, I'm not saying that you don't need a resume. You definitely do need a resume. And you need a resume that's going to read like marketing copy. But the resume in and of itself will not get you the job. You know, it takes someone that's going to be very aggressive, very assertive. You know, it's all about getting out there and meeting people. I mean, I encourage people really to get on a phone and make 10 warm calls a day. Okay, and so instead of shelling out 100 resumes over the internet, make 10 warm calls a day, and by the end of 90 days, you will have made 600 calls. And hopefully after those 600 calls, and I kind of get into this in my book, you'll wind up with maybe two or three interviews. It is a numbers game. It definitely is a numbers game. And you kind of have to think like a salesperson. You know, a salesperson, a good quality salesperson, is going to keep a full pipeline of potential accounts. Same thing in job search. Same thing. You have to have a full pipeline of referral opportunities. So when you're talking to people and you're telling them what it is that you want to do, and hopefully you're aligning with what you want to do with your purpose and passion in life, when that someone is sitting down with someone else a week or two down the road, hopefully your name may pop up if they're talking about looking for someone that for a particular job, and you may be the perfect fit.
So, Joe, how are you defining, you know, for the listeners, can you define examples of a warm call?
Yes, a warm call is you're calling someone that you may not necessarily know, but you have a bond of familiarity. For example, you could be the member of the same association. You could be an alumni. Could be a fellow member in a church or some other type of organization. And so when you make that phone call, you say, for example, "Oh, hi, John. My name is Joe. I am a fellow member of," and then you give the name of that association. And that little piece of information in and of itself, that bond of familiarity, will cause that person to want to help you. Because most people want to help people when they can.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't establish that bond of familiarity, then you're kind of like just another salesperson calling someone up. People by nature want to help if given the opportunity. And if you can establish a bond of familiarity, then it's a stronger urge for someone to want to help you. And that's the trick. That's the name of the game is actually becoming a referred employee, you know, as opposed to asking for a job.
What if people say, well, I had a client say this to me literally yesterday. He's looking for a job post a graduate program that he's in. And he had emailed a professor about setting up a time to meet with them and brainstorm basically about possible ideas regarding internships and contacts that he should be in touch with, et cetera. And he got no answer. And I suggested to him, you know, it's been a week. What are you going to do to follow up? And he said, well, I don't want to bug him. So what do you say to people when they say, you know, I don't want to annoy them or I don't want to bug them?
Mm-hmm. Well, it is true. I mean, you do not want to become a pest or because that could be problematic. But what I always suggest is this. The one really good approach is to send perhaps an article or some information that would be very useful to that person that you're trying to connect with. And when you do that, that person will feel somewhat obligated to respond in kind. And so you send off the article or whatever, and then, you know, you give a couple of days for that article to arrive at the person's office. And then after that, then you attempt to make the phone call. And you know, the words out of your mouth, you know, did you receive the article that I sent to you about so-and-so? And that in and of itself could, you know, make the conversation going. And then the next thing I say is this. You don't want to ask for a job. Now, I know that's kind of hard for perhaps your audience to relate to if they're out of work, and I'm saying don't ask for a job. What I'm saying is that you should have a target list of companies, say 25 companies, and that should become the focus of your conversation with the person that you're talking to. And you might say something to the effect, you know, Jim, I have these 25 targeted companies that I'm looking to connect with, and perhaps email him or her the list of these companies, and then say, do you happen to know of anyone that works for any one of these companies? And so the conversation begins. But if you ask for a job, chances are the person is not going to have a job, and the conversation is over. It's done.
Well, it's really easy to say no. You know, it's a yes or no question.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's really easy to have the conversation be over instantly then.
Yeah, and you don't want that to happen. You want an ongoing, you're looking to develop an ongoing relationship with this person who hopefully in time will refer you to someone who can hire you.
So you use this term career positioning. Did you coin that, and tell us what that means?
Well, I don't know if I coined it or not. But career positioning basically means that you are managing your career. You know, most of us, you know, we kind of just fall into jobs, and then once we are employed, we kind of go on. You know, autopilot, and really not really thinking in terms of, well, gee, what can happen if I lose my job? So it's really important to manage your career. You know, it's important to understand that chances are you're going to have many companies to work for over the course of your lifetime. I mean, you'll be basically working perhaps 100,000 hours over the course of a 100,000 hours over the course of a lifetime, and maybe 10 or 15 different employers. So one of the things about career positioning is this. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when are you going to leave your company, either by your own decision or perhaps being downsized. Once you have that knowledge, then you suddenly realize that you need to have a plan, a strategy in place in the event that happens. So you just can't go to work for a company and assume that you're going to be there for the next 20 years. No, your attitude has to be, well, I'm only here for a short span of time, maybe 5 years. Very different than it was, you know, if you go back 20 years.
Sure.
I mean, I used to work for a company, New York Life, as a very long-term traditional insurance company. And there were people there that worked 30, 40 years and then retired with the gold watch. Those days are gone. They're gone forever.
Yeah.
So you definitely need to have that strategy that you're not going to be with that company forever. Another thing about career management I tell folks is that you need to, you know, if your purpose and passion is not aligned with your what you do for a living, chances are you're not going to be very happy in that job. So, you look at, and also look at the what I call the career acid test. Look at your W-2 earnings from last year, and then compare that up against what you actually accomplished last year for that company. And did you earn your pay? And try to be honest with yourself. And if you come up a little short, if you don't think you really earned your pay, then perhaps you should be thinking about doing something else, because maybe you're not fully engaged with the work that you're doing for that company. Yeah.
You know, you're so right. I've done, over the past few years, I've done a fair amount of presenting pro bono to various organizations about preparing for the successful job search. And I always have a big room of people, and a lot of them are, you know, dressed in suits and very professionally dressed, and I always ask people, how many of you have been job hunting in the last year and before this time? And they say, you know, very few people have been looking for a job recently. And then I say, how many of you has it been 5 years or more since you've looked for a job? And, you know, everybody in the room raises their hand. And then I say, how about 10 years? And, you know, 50% of the room raises their hand. And then I say, 15 years. And, you know, it's still a bunch of people. And then I say, how many people in the room have never looked for a job? And there are always a half dozen hands of people who have never looked for a job, because maybe they had an internship, somebody's dad gave them a job, a friend waved them over and said, hey, there's a position here for you, and they have never had to job hunt. So they're not just rusty, they really never knew how, and of course the rules are quite different now than they used to be. So I think you're absolutely right. So do you think it's really possible for someone listening to us tonight to get a great job in 90 days?
Yes, I absolutely do. You have to look at it from this perspective. Looking for a job is a full-time job. You know, it's not getting up at 10 o'clock in the morning and jumping on the Internet for 2 hours and then calling it a day and being interrupted throughout the day because of things that are going on in the household. It's a full-time job, and there are certain things that you absolutely need to do in order to make that job search end on a very successful note in 90 days or less. And the key thing, as I might have mentioned earlier, is it's becoming a referred employee. You're reaching out to other people, and chances are, Lisa, and this is kind of weird, but the person that probably will be responsible for getting you that next job is someone that you either have not met yet or someone that you don't know that well. It's not going to be a strong tie. It's going to be a weak tie, a casual acquaintance. And I tell people, don't prejudge people because it's and I say it's the weak ties because there was actually a study done back in 1973, a sociology professor, and who really came to this conclusion that weak ties are better than strong ties, because with the weak ties, people don't feel like they're on the hook. They're not there's not too much at risk if they refer you to someone else because their name is not necessarily on the line, as opposed to a much stronger tie. So that is really important to understand, reaching out to people that you don't know. And it really, what it comes down to, and which is what really makes it hard for folks, is that I'm asking people to get out of their comfort zone. You know, most of us are not in sales. We're not comfortable in talking with strangers or people we don't know that well. And I'm saying that if you follow some of the things that I talk about in this book and you get out of your comfort zone, you can absolutely get a job in 90 days or less. It's a matter of just going through the process, making those phone calls, getting belly-to-belly meetings with people, and absolutely knowing what it is that you want to do. It amazes me that there are a lot of people out there that can't even articulate what they want to do. They're not that sure. And, you know, you have to look at it from the perspective of the person that you're talking to. that person wants to help you, perhaps, but if he or she doesn't know what it is that you want to do, then how is that person going to help you land a job in some company? So even before the resume, even before you pick up the phone and call someone, what you absolutely need to do is figure out, what do you want to do? What's going to make you happy? Where do you want to work? And it requires a lot of thought and process before you even attempt to pick up that phone and make a phone call.
I'm glad you addressed both of those things, that what do you want to do and what makes you happy, because that's, I work a lot of times with people that are unhappy in their jobs and under a lot of stress, and I think there's no greater stressor than being in an environment that's inconsistent with your values, that you feel like there's no reason for me to be here, I'm not important, I'm not doing what I could be doing, that I'm not using who I am in an effective way. So I think that's really important. And then I'm also glad to hear you address that out of your comfort zone stuff, because this is hard. It's really hard for a lot of people to do. And they want to do the easy thing. You know, they want to just, like, sit at their computer at 10 o'clock at night and click submit on a few things and say, well,
exactly.
I'm not my...
Exactly.
Yeah. And then they say, gee, I've been job hunting for months and I haven't gotten anything. Well, you know, that's because,
right,
as you said, it's the passive technique and isn't going to work. Even in a good environment, it doesn't work well, but certainly in this environment. So of this stuff, what do you think is the most important takeaway that our listeners could have from our conversation tonight?
I would say the most important takeaway, and actually the reason why I wrote this book, How to Get a Great Job in 90 Days or Less, is to absolutely take some time to align your passion, your purpose, your talents, and your preferences with what you do for a living. And let that be the bridge that will connect you to your next job. Because if you don't do that, even if you are successful in getting a job, chances are you may not be happy in that job. In 6 months or a year from now, you may be out of a job again, going through the whole process again. So it's really important to align your purpose and your passion with what it is that you do for a living. That is really important. Now, it's what a lot of the book goes into that.
Well said. And, you know, I'm thinking about my experience. I've hired hundreds of people over the years. And given two people who are equally skilled, have equal backgrounds in terms of education and experience, I'm going to hire the one that's excited about the job every time.
Mm-hmm.
Every time. Every employer wants somebody that's excited about being there, that, you know, can't wait to be a part of the organization, that loves to do the work, rather than somebody who's like, well, you know, it's a job. So that's great. Very well said. So we have just a short time left here. I want to make sure that I get back to how our listeners can find out more information, how they can get to the book, should they want to read it. I know that I had it listed on this post, but people may not be there right now. Can you?
Sure. Yeah, they can absolutely go to Amazon.com, just choose a book category, and do a search on Joe Carroll, C-A-R-R-O-L-L, and the book will come up on Amazon. They can also go to my website, career-coach-now.com. There's a lot of information there about what I do, and also there is a hot link to the book itself, How to Get a Great Job in 90 Days or Less.
Great, great.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Lisa. Take care.
Bye now.
Great talking to you.
Thank you for joining us tonight on the Leadership Focus, the show which gives you new ideas, interesting guests, and actionable strategies to help you be an incredible leader with a more balanced life. We hope that you've enjoyed the show. If you have, please go to blogtalkradio.com and become a friend and make us a favorite. To sign on for our free newsletter with more tips and strategies you can use, go to focuscoaching.net on the web. That's focuscoaching.net. Until next time, this is your host, Lisa Pasbjorg, urging you to be a better leader every day.